Here we are up to page 464 in the Dirshim Mishnah Berurah, which is Simen Shin Samach Vav. Shin Samach Vav, Seif Yud. We're up to. No, I made a mistake. No, give me 1 second. Alright, Shin Samach Vav, Sivav. Shin Samach Vav, Sivav in the Ramah Hagah. Okay, so we learned yesterday the halacha that you are required to use a complete loaf of bread. You're not allowed to use a slice of bread for your eruv chatzeros. It must be a complete roll. Shadna v'shalem. So now there are two. The Ramah here is coming to explain that when Chazal taught us halacha, the halacha is vague. All Chazal said is the eruv chatzeros must be pas shalem. What does that mean? So Ramah is about to explain that there are two ways to create an eruv. Either one person picks up a complete loaf of bread and is mezakeh on behalf of everyone, or all of the members of the courtyard together contribute loaves of bread and they put it in one basket. So until now we have been discussing the second solution, where all of the members of the courtyard contribute their own individual loaves of bread. Let's say there are three people in the courtyard, so each one gives a little bulka, and they put it in a basket, and we have our Erev. If that's the case, every one of them must be careful to give a complete loaf of bread. If one of the three members gives a piece of it, a slice of bread, it's not sholem, it's not valid. Then there are mos hagah, yesha perishu, some explain, ha, the eidim arvin rak the pasham. This that we have learned before, that when you make an eruv chatzeros, you must use a complete loaf of bread, not a slice. Hainu, shekol eruv biyachad yihye pashalim. Does not mean only, that's what the Mishnah Berurah explains, does not mean only everyone contributes, and you have a total of three in our example. But what it means is that everyone should contribute flour or money, and with the flour or the money, a loaf of bread will be baked, or a loaf of bread will be purchased. Ulechein, therefore, since the goal is that the result should be everyone's going to contribute flour, and from that flour we're going to bake a loaf of bread, and that loaf of bread must be complete, not a slice. Ulechein ohagu, the custom is lekabetz mikol bayis ubayis me'at kemach. Everyone should give a small amount of flour, and we make one complete challah, and with that one challah we make the eruv chatzeros. That was the custom. Time the Ramah, people would contribute flour, and some would bake the flour into a loaf of bread. But you must make sure that the loaf of bread that you have at the end result is at least the size of mazon shtei sudos, which we'll learn later on. Everyone's giving a small amount of flour. Yeah, let's say you have to make sure at least that that's what the end result will be. The afal pisha nishtaim and akemach. What happens if everyone contributes flour and some of the flour is not used? Let's say you have 10 people, and everyone gives flour, but only the flour of 9 of the 10 people ends up being used to make the bread. So maybe the 10th person is not part of the Erev, so it's not kosher Erev because one of the people has not joined. It's okay, it doesn't matter. Because since everyone is giving the flour together, it's understood that the result, the loaf of bread that's been baked at the end, that's one, represents is for everyone in the courtyard. It's no different than if one person would donate a loaf of bread on behalf of everyone, which is in fact the way we do it today. And that's why originally everyone gave flour. It was in order that it should join together to one loaf of bread. And just in case someone's flour is not added to the mixture, it does not matter. The final result will count for everyone in the group. Okay, so that's the basic halacha. And the Shmuel just explains, he does talk about... He talks about when you do. Just something that interesting that he speaks about. Let's run through very quickly. Mem hey, about when you make the Erev and what happens if you forgot to make the Erev. They used to make the Erev Pesach. So it seems like, let's see what he says. Sif katan mem hey. Deloy garav adai tohachi. He writes a lemar. The shamash comes around collecting the flour. We have to remember that in all the olden days, the erev was put in the shul, and the one who was responsible was the shamash. The shamash of the shul. Do you have your shamash in the shul? I have a shamash. But other people, I see. I remember the old man. They have to have a shamash. There was a shamash. That was what they called him. So he comes around to collect flour from all the members for the erev. Very soon that there has to be zikui, and we're going to learn all the halachos very soon. So the question is, everyone's giving flour, so where is the zikui? So when you give the flour to the shamash, when the shamash takes your flour, he's not just taking it from you, he's taking it on behalf of everyone in the community. He doesn't need to go through the formalities of saying this and giving it to another person. That's enough. And therefore, the best thing is that after the shamash collects flour from everyone in the community, he should then do zikui, which we're going to learn in the next simonim, where he takes the collection and he gives it to another person, and the other person, when he picks it up, he's picking it up on behalf of everyone in the community. So just in case some of that flour that came from a specific person does not find its way into the dough, into the final chal, some of the flour they don't need, they have, let's say, a mixture, you don't want to have too much flour because it's not going to fit into the oven or whatever the case is. It doesn't matter, because when the shamash gives the flour to a third person, that third person, when he picks it up, he's picking it up on behalf of the entire community. And now it's something very interesting. The Mishmur says something over here. So this was a ceremony. Can you imagine the ceremony, the same way Erev Pesach, the Rav sells the chametz to the guy. And Erev Pesach, the shamash comes with the box of matzah, and the shamash gives the matzah to the Rav. And the Rav picks up the matzah on behalf of the entire kihila for the Eruvi Chatzeros. Shashamosh nosin erev laharav. The Erev Pesach, sheyiske boy b'shvil kol hakohol. V'yim chosh. Then he discuss something totally off the topic. What happens, very common, they forgot to make an Eruvi Chatzeros. They clean the shul, spotless, and the Eruv from last year is gone. And now it's Erev Pesach, and it's the custom to make a new Erev with a new bracha and a new nusach, and the shamash and the Rav, they're the ones who do it. The shamash gives to the Rav, and the Rav picks it up, and they forgot. And tonight is Shabbos. Or it's not, let's say the second day is Shabbos. Make believe the second day, let's see. So you're not allowed to do zikui. In order to the erev to be effective, you have to make a kinyan. And you're not allowed to make kinyonim on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because it's like mekach u'memkar. So what are you going to do? It's soon going to be Shabbos. Let's make the case very simple. It's a 3-day Yom Tov. Okay, well, I want to make that out. That's the case. I'll discuss the other case in a moment. It's a 3-day Yom Tov. Pesach is Thursday, Friday. So Thursday, Friday, there's no issue you're allowed to carry. There's no prohibition of Hitzah on Yom Tov. But Shabbos, you can't carry. So what are you going to do on the first day, Chol HaMoed? How are you going to carry? You need the Eruv HaChatzeros. And last year's Eruv is no longer here. You need a new Eruv. But we forgot to make the Eruv. And in order to make the Eruv, you have to do Zikui. You have the Shamas has to take the flour, the bread that he collected, or the matz that he prepared, and give it to the Rav on behalf of the Kehila. And you're not allowed to make a Kinyan on Yom Tov. So what do? So the Teretz says, being that it's a 2-day Yom Tov, it's Thursday, Friday, and one day is only Sekud Yoma. Really, Yom is only one day. The second is only Sekud Yoma. So you make a Tanai. on the Tanai, he says, if today is really Yom Tov, when I'm giving the Rav, the Erev HaChatzeros, it's nothing, it's just I'm not doing anything, I'm just giving him something. And fine. But if today is Chol, today is really a regular weekday, and tomorrow is the real Yom Tov, even though our calendars are Kfi D'Yachol, let's put that aside. But if today is Chol, then when I give the Rav, the Ruvi Chatzeros, it should be a Tzikui, it should be the Kinyan that is required for Ruvi Chatzeros. And you do the exact same thing the next morning on Friday. Fridays, if yesterday was Yom Tov, then it means today is Chol, it's Chol HaMoed. Then I'm giving the Rav, the Eruv, it should be a Kinyan for Ruvi Chatzeros. And if yesterday was Chol, so yesterday I did what I was supposed to do, and today is, I'm not doing anything, I'm giving to the Rav, it's just symbolic, it's just nothing. Fine. All this only in a situation where it's a 3-day Yom Tov. You don't have a day in between to prepare. The im yesh you may chol in time, but let's say Yom Tov is Sunday, Monday. So even whatever, so you don't need the erev until the following Shabbos, and you forgot to make the Ruvi Chatzeros erev Pesach. So what's the big deal? Anyway, you don't need it until Shabbos, and after Sunday, Monday, you have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So then there's no problem. You don't have to do anything on the first 2 days of Pesach. You can make the Ruvi Chatzeros on Chol HaMoed. Yamtin miliskois ad erev Shabbos. You should wait to be until erev Shabbos. V'im shachach gam be'erev Shabbos miliskois ad shechoshcha. Let's say you forgot to make the eruv echatzeros and it's already Shabbos. Then soimchem ala poiskem hanal the svilu the mutal tatal af boli zikui kevin shagvar nigba b'shvil kulam. Then we're lenient. It's very important halacha. We're going to see this detail that you lichatchila you have to do zikui. You have to give. Take the matzah and give it to another person, and that person should acquire it on behalf of everyone. If you don't do that, it's a problem. B'di'eved, it's okay. We rely upon the minority opinion that as long as this was purchased, it was taken, l'chatchila, for the group, it's good, even though it was not formally transferred to another person, that person who did not pick up to be mezakeh for the tzibur. Okay, let's now go to the next sif. Next sif says, "In echad mezake lekulam yachol ar beprusa." If one person is being mezake lekulam, then this is the big exception. You do not need to have a complete loaf of bread. The only time you need to have a complete loaf of bread is one of the two cases we mentioned before, is where either everyone is giving a loaf of bread into a basket. Our examples are three people, small community, three people. Everyone is contributing a loaf of bread. Let's say we have 10 people. Everyone is putting a loaf of bread into a basket or a matzah. Everyone must give a complete matzah. Or if everyone is contributing flour or money, then the final product, the flour, must be baked into a complete loaf of bread, or the money must be used to purchase a complete loaf of bread. But if one person is going to be generous and pay for the entire Erev, he's going to go to the store, Erev Pesach, and buy a box of matzah or buy a loaf of bread for everyone, then it does not need to be a complete loaf of bread. This is the exception. It's okay even if it's a prusa, even if it's a slice of bread or a broken matzah. That is the exception because there's no issue of Eva being that it's only one person. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. Yachol alei beprusa deloy shayach kan klal mishum Eva, because one person is doing on behalf of everyone. Okay, we're up to Ches. Sif Ches. Me'arvin bepas oriz v'adoshim. You could what type of bread? So not only can you use wheat and barley, and I guess oats, you could even use rice. Even though these are not breads which contain the chametz, me'arvin bepas oriz with rice, v'adoshim and lentils, avaloi bepas tech, and now it's spelt. Because it appears spelt was not used as brothers here in Mishnah Berurah, Shaderech Oilam Le'efoisoi Ulach, where people would bake it and eat it, these types of breads, I guess rice cakes, Masha Enkein, Bedoichan Spelt. Do you know how we have spelt bread today?
They make spelt matzahs for the gluten people.
So is that Doichan is spelt? Maybe they make it spelt? So I don't know. Let's see what some of these, there's a number over here. The Ayin El Simon Reshchesiv Kadmav Mishnah Berurah Ma. Mahu Oyaz Vidaychan, that's another issue. Let's see over here quickly. We'll only see 61. 61 appears on page 19 in the back in the Miluim. I didn't look at this one. I looked at the other ones, but not this one. 61. 61 says, "V'tava davar kosav tosa Shabbos kevon she'ena machal l'roiv nei adam." V'gerev hu mishum diva shalom kavei diva shalom machmas pasov v'shogemer charav kosav shepastach and ena nikres pas. Okay, so therefore that's what he says. He says it's not called bread. It's not for most people. Most people do not eat spelt, and therefore it's not kosher for an Erev, or it's not called bread. I don't know what it says, but I guess that's but rice and lentil bread, they make lentil bread, I've never heard of that before, is time Chazal was called bread. Okay, next test. Im echad b'nechad serayt zelitin pas b'shvil kulam. Now we're just going the way we do it today. If one person of the court wants to be mezak the entire tzibur, shaper dummy, that's fine. Levat sheyizak kenu lohem al yidei acher. It's fine. One person can provide, be the sponsor of the erev, but he must give the Erev to another person, Zikuyim, and that person should acquire it on behalf of everyone. Uvilvat sheyizakenu lohem al yidei acher. Uche shezoyche tzorch lahagbil min hakarka tefach. When the other person picks up, and Ruvain has purchased the bread, he purchased the box of matzah, and he goes now to another person, an independent person. Now we'll see all the rules in a moment. A person that has nothing to do with Reuven. It's not Reuven's son, it's not his wife. We'll get to all the details in a few moments. But ideally, you bring in a neighbor who you don't know from, and you tell him, I purchased this box of matzah. This matzah is going to be served as the Eruvei Chatzeres for the community, and I want you to pick it up on behalf of the entire... I bought it, and you're going to pick it up and acquire it on behalf of the entire community. Zochin la'adam shaloi b'fanav. So he has to be a team. The one who purchased the bread cannot do it. The one who purchased the bread cannot be mezake al he buys it, and someone else picks it up on behalf of everyone.
It
belongs to everyone. The one that picks it up.
Say, if it doesn't stay in the shul, you're talking about staying in the shul.
Right. No, it doesn't matter. That's not where it stays. But before it's put in a location, it has to first become the property of the entire tzibur. Until now, we would discuss the case where everyone brings. There are five members of a community. Every one of the five families brings over a loaf of bread and puts it in the basket. Or everyone gives money. Gives flour. And the Mishnah discussed what happens if there's some leftover flour, so that person is left out. It's a problem. In the Chanami, so we discussed, you should do zikur. But let's say there is no problem. Let's say everyone's flour will be added to the pot, will be added to the baking pan, and it'll be into the kneading trough, and it will turn in, so then it's fine. But here, one person is giving on behalf of everyone. So the one who buys it cannot be mezakeh the entire community alone. The way it works, the way Zikrin Halacha works is I own it, I have acquired it. Now when I want everyone in this community to be a joint partner in owning this, I need another person. Another person. So I give it to another person. When he picks it up, by him picking it up, everyone in the entire community owns it. They own a Mashahu, a Shavaputa, a Pachat Shavaputa. Everyone is a joint owner in this box of matzah, and then the box of matzah should be put in a safe place, which typically is the shul.
Does he have to speak it out that he's making zikun on behalf of everyone?
Yes, we're going to see now. That's what it says now. When the person who acquires it, he must pick it up. We'll see if he has to say, there's a nusach. We'll see, I think, on the next page. What else? If you don't say the nusach, if you just do without the nusach, we're going to see the details. But let's assume now for the moment he said, I'm picking it up on behalf of the tzibur. And he also must, the way you acquire it is you must pick it up at least a tefach. Tzorch lahagbir min hakarka tefach, v'tzorch lezakos l'chol b'nei hachotzer ahamovoi, u'l'chol mi sheyitoysef miyoyim zev eilch. This is interesting. What happens if someone new moves into the community in a few weeks? Bungalow column, right? They come to bungalow column, so the chayr, I imagine they make a new Erev every. It depends on the bungalow column. Okay, today the bungalow column, some of them are so sophisticated, it's like a city. So there, it's there in the shul the whole year round. But let's say you renew the Eruv every summer. Let's say someone new, or let's say someone new moves in, someone new comes to the bungalow in the middle of summer, or a community. Someone new moves into Flatbush, someone new moves into whatever, wherever you have your all of these little communities out of town where they have Eruvim. Someone new moves in. So you have to stipulate, and that's we'll eventually look at the Nusach, that's what it says in the Nusach and the Siddur, when you make the Eruv, it's not just for the people that are current residents. It's for anyone that will join us in the future. We want now that this box of matzah should be the property of the current residents and the future residents. Otherwise, it's problematic. You know, they're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to use it. They'll ruin it for the whole city. The yesh, some say, even if you did not explicitly make this tonight, that this should be all good, this should be the property of those that will join us in the future, it does not matter, it's okay. It's as if you made this stipulation because that's the way it was established. The but if the Erev diminishes, you have to get a new Erev. Now this means as follows. He assumes you understand a halacha. Let's say you have an Erev. The Erev has a minimum shear. We're going to learn this later on. Mazoin shtei sudos. Enough bread for two meals. Okay, what's one meal? It's six eggs, eight eggs. So you want to have 16 eggs, or you want to have 12 eggs. Whatever it is, you have to have enough matzah for two meals. And that's good, even for a whole city, for 1,000 people. It's okay. What happens if you have a community of 50 people? And let's say you're very stingy, and you say, we don't stone. No one is allowed to come into this city. We don't accept your quotas. We don't accept visitors. This is only for these 50 people. This Erev. And you have mazon shtei sudos. And then one week you come, middle of the year, you discover that the rats or mice have gotten to your Erev Chatzeros, and they've eaten up most of it, and all that's left is a half a matzah. So you're in trouble. You no longer have mazon shtei sudos for your 50 people. You don't have enough. So what's the halacha? So it's fair shalil on, it's okay. As long as you start out with enough food, mazon shtei sudos, for your community, even if somehow it disintegrates or gets lost or is consumed by rodents or by children or by adults, it's okay. Because when it was made, you had a shear, even if the shear has now been diminished. But let's say member 51 comes to the community. Okay, there's a community board meeting. Should we allow into our gated community member number 51? And I take a vote, and they say, yes, we're making an exception, and Mr. 51 can come and move into the neighborhood. That Shabbos, it's not going to be a kosher Erev. Why? Because this at Chazal allowed you to use mazon, that if you have mazon, shtei sudos, which has been diminished to less than mazon, shtei sudos, is only for the existing people. But if someone new comes into the community and you want this bread, this matzah, to be used for him on this new week, you have 51 people and this number 51 was not part of our community and it's the first week he's part of the community and the Erev is less than mazon shtei sudos, no good. It was good last week because it was for those 50 people, and when it was originally established, there was enough food, the shear was there. So it's grandfathered. Once we have enough mazon, even though the mazon now has been diminished, it's grandfathered. But it's only grandfathered for the old members, not for the new members. So that's what we say from this halacha. When we make an Erev, we're not like Sodom. We make an Erev very generous. And we say, we're putting down mazon shtei sudos. And this mazon shtei baksa matzah is good not only for the 1,000 people that live here. We are planning to expand. There are a lot of homes for sale. We hope by next year we'll have 2,000 people. So anyone that moves in, can you, it's, they're automatically part of that Erev. But if that Erev, all of a sudden, half of it, or 90% of it disappears, there were some kids playing, running around during davening, and they found the box of matzah, and they start eating it, and now it's less than Moshe Shtei Sudos, and now next week you have a whole new group of new members who have come to the community, no good. Because you no longer have Mazon Shtei Sudos. V'yesham Shabbos, some say, Shabbos L'Zagof Erev, if new people join us to the end of Sim and Test, if new people join the community, you have to add more. You have to add more to there. Now this halacha, okay, we're going to. It says over here in Lulun Mishnah Berurah, this nagi halacha lemaisa. When is nagi halacha lemaisa? This halacha is totally related. Let's say machsa shekel, or anytime you have to own, even a person gets married, he has to own the ring. He has to own the ring. If his father pays for the ring, he has to own the ring. What do you need to do to acquire something? It's very common. You go to shul, machsa shekel. So you put down on the table $1.50 and you take machsa shekel. How do you acquire the 3 coins? How high do you have to lift it up? 3 tzachim? 1 tefach? Or maybe the fact that the coins fit in your hand, you really don't have to lift it up at all. So the truth is, we'll see soon, you really don't have to lift up Mikra Hadin at all. Because since the coins, the 3 coins, fit entirely in your hand, as soon as you take the coins already, you paid for it, you've given the $1.50, you really don't have to even pay for it. Most of the old traditional shuls, going back 100 years ago, not everyone could afford a machsa shekel, believe it or not. And the shul gave you the machsa shekel. It's yours. That's part of being a member. You're a member of the shul. We will give you machsa shekel so you can mekayim the mitzvah. You want to give a donation? Very nice. Go gift. You can give 25 cents. You can give 10 cents. You want to give $100? Halavai.
We'll take...
No, not on the nasla. All right. You give me machsa shekel. Basically, you don't want people walking off with it. You know, that's part. You're not letting people take a machsa shekel and run and go to another shul. Here's $1.50, and you take a machsa shekel, you run, you run away with it. But mikra din, most shuls, the way it's understood is, you don't even have. Let's say a guy comes to shul on Purim, he doesn't have $1.50 on him. He only has credit cards. He's worth $1 million, but he only doesn't have $1.50 on him. So what's the halacha? He doesn't know for next time. It's Purim. He wants to give it today on the right day on Tainus Esther, Purim. Just take it. That's what the shuls are for. Shuls are to provide services. We're giving you the machsa shekel. It's for you. Take it. It's yours. You acquire it. It's yours. And now you put it down. You mekayim the mitzvah. It's a nice thing to tip the shul. So people, it's $1.50. So you give at least the shul a tip of $1.50. Some people give 50 cents, give $1. People don't know this. People think that you're buying it, which is also true. So you give $1.50. But if you don't have $1.50, you give a quarter. You have to give a quarter. You take it and just put it back down. That's also a king of the mitzvah. And of course, it would be very nice if you put on the plate, give a nice donation to the shul. That goes without saying. But the point is, when you acquire those three half coins, how high, how do you acquire it? So here we have these halakhs. There's a lot of discussion about this right now, what you need to do to acquire the, when you do zikui. Well, the same thing, the wedding ring, since the wedding with the ring fits in your fingers, it's a teeny little thing, it fits in your fingers, so you don't really, we're going to see soon, you don't really need even to pick it up at all, even a tefach.
So when the Saudi Kedushin is asking the chassan, I say, you see it all the time, is this your ring? Do you own it? Did you buy it?
Start off marriage with a bunch of lies, right?
But the ring he puts on his fingers is petty. It's not diamonds or anything. It's just around.
But still, it costs $60.
The Woolworth ring or whatever you can buy.
No, the Tabasco edition cost the marriage band. Marriage band cost a lot of money. It cost $90, $70.
Gold is $1,600.
Yeah, but it has to be gold.
So it probably even costs now.
That's what you have the diamond. Woman wears, but for the chup, under the chuppah,
yeah, the marriage band.
No,
the marriage band. You're not allowed to have any inscription. The Ashmanian inscription, not any of those. So that costs a lot of money. It's not so cheap.
So the pshat is all used to when they go to the jeweler. He and his parents are paid off. He gives it.
The father, whoever pays for that ring, must give it to the chassan as a gift. He must give to the chassan as a gift. The chassan has to own it. So the chassan, whoever paid for it, should give it to the chassan. The chassan should pay. So what does the chassan need to do? What kinyan does the chassan need to do to acquire it? He needs to pick it up. Technically, the chassan, we're going to see now, being that the ring fits in his fingers, in his palm, doesn't really have to even pick it up at all. Anything which fully fits in your hand is automatically, when it enters your hand and it's given to you for the purpose of owning it, automatically it becomes your property. You didn't get it.
Or whoever paid for it, you say, I'm giving it to you.
Yes. The father, I'm giving it to you, he gives it to him, and he takes it in his hand, that's it. The reason why we have a discussion here, and people make this, they machmir, and you see people, and they come machshek, they make kinyanim, they do all these things, is because it doesn't fit in your hand. The box of matzah does not fit in your hand. Box of matzah is a box of matzah, you hold it. So when it doesn't fit in your hand, in order to acquire it, you have to pick it up, different opinions. Three tzvachim to acquire it. You're being mezakeh, you're giving it to me, right? One person, and I should acquire it on behalf of the community. So I'm a shaliach, I'm a representative of the entire community. I have to pick it up on behalf of the community. If it was a ring and it fit in my hand, technically I don't have to do anything. As long as it comes to my hand, I'm finished, I'm done. But being that it does not fit in my hand, I have to pick it up. How much I need to pick it up? So here the Mechaber says something amazing. One tefach. What are you talking about? You have to pick it up three tefachim. So we're going to see now the Mishnah Berurah says that really you should pick it up three tefachim. But being that Eruvei Chatzeros is a din derabanan, we can be lenient. You only need to pick it up one tefach. I'm telling you, no big deal to pick up three tefachim. Big deal. You go to a wedding, like you make kinyanim, we make a mechiras chametz with the rav, make a kinyan. So the rav, you pick up the handkerchief, pick up the pen, you pick it up. These are the rabban. You pick it up one tefach is enough. But if people only mach, pick up these tefachim. Or if you're over a table, then you got to pick it up one tefach b'diavad or three tefachim. But if you over the ground, so just take it from the table or off the table, then you're automatically more than three tefachim off the ground. That's also enough. If you're on top of the bima, you don't want to pull it away from the bima. You're lazy. You don't want to pull away from the bima. Then you got to go at least one tefach or lechatchila three tefachim. If it doesn't fit in your hands, but the coins fit in your hands, if you're holding by the tip. But if you want to move it away from the bima, you're automatically off the table. Interesting, there are minhagim. No, we don't do this today, but it's brought down that a get, the nasan biyada, that they would take a get in ancient times and they would fold it until it was so small the entire get would fit in her hand. Because a get doesn't fit in today. Bizman hazeh, when a husband gives a get to a woman, a man gives it to a woman, it doesn't fit in her hand. It's a piece of paper, a piece of parchment. I don't know, they roll it up, they fall, I don't know how they do, but he gives it to her, so she holds it. So she picks it up. I assume, I never assume, but she picks it up. Three tefachim. It used to be the minhag, I don't know, fold it, and for a teeny little thing, and therefore it's the nosan biyadash, the entire thing is completely inside the folds of her hand. So very...
throws a get in the yard. That.
That's her reshus. That's
she
her reshus. But they do it in Bezin. No, in her reshus, she does not need to pick it up because that's her property. Today, Gidna not giving
her. So woman puts the get on her table.
No, it's what's in her table. What do you mean her table?
That's not the property.
In a court, the Bezin?
No. The husband, the shliff, throws it on her.
In her property, in her house, on the floor. It's also good.
So she doesn't have to pick it up?
No. As long as she accepts. But today, 99% of the time, the get is given not on her property. It's given in the court. It's given in the RCA Bezdin. It's given some type of Bezdin. So when they give it to Bezdin, so she has to put it into her hand. In her hand, she holds it, she picks it up. Let's look at the Mishnah very quickly. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah says over here. So we'll talk about Al-Yidei Acher. It says here, a tefach. I want to find where it says tefach. But my character tefach. Nun Aleph. Let's look at Nun Aleph. Nun Aleph. In the letter of Nun, because Nun is what you mentioned he has to say. Look at Nun. The one who bought the box match should say to the recipient, Kabel Pazer, accept this bread. He should think Behag b'hasa b'shvil kulam the afshahim loy asu shliach was even though they did not he didn't meet with 1,000 people in the community, but zochin le'adam shloy b'fana v'havi kishlucham he's automatically their agent. Next in aleph tefach v'afilu da'asa imem b'chayshem mishpat simin kuf tzadi chesiv dal b'hagad de'hag ba enoy koyne b'pachus mishloy shetvachim. So the Mishnah is asking a very powerful question: what in the world is the mechaber saying here in Arachayim in the laws of the Chatzer? It's a tefach, but it says in Chayshem Mishpat all kinyanim are three tefachim. Kasev ataz to who adinim hinichoy leho erev al yah. Kasev ataz who adinim hinichoy leho erev al yadoi hatluya ba'avir tzarch sheagbiya yadoi tefach. I skipped. So hacha be'erev shul midra bonei kilu. This is a din derabanan, the whole din of Eruvei Chatzeros derabanan. One tefach is enough. Then he says the thing next thing that I told you. The sagid and the sagid about tefach kosvataz the hua din im hinichu l'chayev al yodah hatluya be'aver tzorich sheyagbiya yodah tefach. He's machmir that even if your hand you're holding in the air, you're not on top of a surface, you also should lift it up a tefach. Okay, you also. I told you a case where you're over a surface and you move it away, that's enough. But if he puts it into your hand, even though you would think that there's nothing beneath you, it's not enough. You should lift it up at least tefach. Look at the side, some very interesting things on the side over here. Look at number 64. On the side of the geder, kinyan zeh kosvan etziv, shalom estavish lo tzarech, erev chatzes tekilu rabbon v'tikdu kinyan chadosh shal agbot tefach. Ella, Shabriv Chatzeros, Lo Yisruch Hacham, King and Gomer Bepas, Vedai Bischus, Beoma Shloi Hei Chaver, Shalit, Lom Menu Shloi Bechad, Tzornay, Lozeg, Dai Behagbos Tefach. It says, Rebbe Chiddush, she says, it's not a Kinyan. Another answer. The Netziv says another answer. If this was a real Kinyan, you would need three Tvachim. The reason why you don't need three Tvachim is because it's not a real Kinyan. It's just that you're collecting it. You don't need a real kinyan. It should just be for the tzibur. I don't know exactly what he means. It's not a real kinyan. That's why it's a new type of acquisition called a tefach. If it was a real kinyan, even if it would only be midrabanan, you would require three tzvachim. It's a different type of kinyan. Okay, let's look at 65. Even if your hand is above the ground 3 tefachim, you still must lift it and raise your hand on the tefach. And jump down to 3 lines before the end of this, of number 65. Interesting. Let's say it's such a small loaf of bread that does not extend outside of your fingers, your palm. Ela kula me'al avir yadoi kosa v'ber halacha b'shem ha'nesivos ha'mishpat shekoyne mitam yad v'ein tzarech lehagbia klal. That's the Ber Halacha. I forgot to ask the Ber Halacha. Ber Halacha, if it completely fits in your hand, you don't have to pick it up at all. And that would solve all the problems. That's why by a wedding, a chosma, the father gives, doesn't have to pick it up. If the get would be so small, she wouldn't have to pick it up at all. And here also, if the bread would be, I guess, has to be, Moshe Shteisus, it has to be towering high, right? Like one of those longer rolls, whatever they are, and it's vertical, then you do not have to pick it up at all because it's completely in your hand. So these are the gedarim, just three types of kinyanim. Nothing, a tefach, and 3 tefachim. And when you're over the airspace, l'chatchila, 3 tefachim will solve all the problems. But 1 tefach, the Mechaber says 1 tefach. Why? A chidushin here. Either because it's only midrabanan, so we want to tell you the bare minimum, or a whole new chidush from the Netziv. It's not a kinyan gomer. You don't need by a kinyan gomer. If you need a kinyan gomer, even with rabbanon, you need the real thing. It's not a kinyan gomer. What that means, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that means. Or
what about a ksufa? That would be a kinyan gomer.
Same thing, exactly. That's why by weddings you see. I don't know the different rashidas. They pick it up. They pick it up three tefachim.
Some kind of
a
you got it. They're just picking it up.
You don't need a kinyan gomim, the mitzvah says. That's why a tefach is enough. Tefach is enough. But
it's supposed to be almond, just
yeah. A tremendous chiddush. What does that mean? What's zikwe? What's the whole? What's the mechaber saying here? It's not a kinyan. See, that's
the argument. It's not individual ownership.
But you've been koina on behalf of an entire community. You're thinking even a better kinyan. It's not just for me, it's for the whole community.
The courts are in Sibi not doing that.
Exactly. That's why it's enough in this case, only a tefach. But the Mishnah Berurah says, no, really you need a kinyan. It's a real kinyan. But being that it's a kinyan midrabanan, you can be makel, and that's what the Mechaber is teaching you. The Mechaber is teaching you the bare, the borderline. That's halacha. Halacha, of course, you want to be machmer, gesund to hate. But you have to know. You have to know the basics, and the basics are you only need in this case. So this is a very interesting halacha. I'm going to see a lot more exactly when you make the kinyan, a lot of details on how to make a proper eruv chatzeros. Okay, so we'll stop here with Simin Yud. Sif Yud.